once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka. You know, because we can greet each other wherever we are on this planet in the name of Jesus, because He is the rock that grew and filled the whole earth. Upon his shoulders is the kingdom. You know, He's grown His kingdom. His enemies are His footstool. They're all under His feet. The only thing they can do at this point is lie and steal and do what they can within their system to destroy, but they are defeated. You know, a defeated enemy is, you know, he still can talk. He can still, you know, make a big show. He can still say things, but only a fool would believe the words of a defeated foe. You know, only somebody that doesn't have the right information would believe the lie of a defeated enemy. You know, you got to get the right information. Because if you get the right information, then you actually know where you are in the middle of a situation. You know, there's been all kinds of wars all over the world throughout history. And, you know, there were times when, you know, there were incredible tragedies about to take place to people, or victories that had happened or whatever, but the information was not told to people. And the whole goal of that was to affect people's actions. So, for example, you know, when Hitler was defeated and the Allied forces were coming in to take over everything, there were generals and even his own wife that were trying to throw parties. You know, I'm going loosely off of some stuff I know. I haven't looked into this too deep. But, you know, because they didn't want to deal with the reality that they were defeated. So they were just trying to make merry and have a good time while everything was closing in around them and they were being shelled. You know, the Titanic. After the hull of the Titanic had been breached in 5 different compartments and the ship was sinking and it was going down and they knew that it was going to go down. You know, they were telling, they were still telling people, hey, everything's fine. Not everybody, but they were telling the people that they didn't want to have the right information. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's okay. Everything's going to just continue on. Don't you worry about anything. You know, they had fiddlers and not fiddlers, but the orchestra, different people playing. The music was playing while the boat was sinking. And people thought everything was going to be okay, but it wasn't. And, you know, throughout time, throughout history, this has been so much of what's gone on. You know, lots and lots of empires around the world, lots and lots of places. And, you know, governments that, you know, realized the value of keeping control of information worked very hard to control the thought process of those that were around them, the masses that had to believe them, the people that they would go after. You know, so there's always a battle on for your mind. There's always a battle on for your consciousness. There's always a battle on for your thought process. That being said, it's good for you to know the truth. The truth will set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, you gotta know the truth. See, when you know the truth, it changes things. Your reality changes. The dynamics change. The paradigm changes. How you conduct yourself changes. You know, what you find a priority changes. For example, if somebody were to tell you right now, you have 2 weeks left to live, and that was the truth, they weren't just pulling your leg, but you knew that, hey, you only got 2 more weeks of life left. And then once those 2 weeks are done, it's over. If you knew that truth, how would you live? What would you do? Would there be certain things that would not seem so important to you right now? Would there be certain things that really wouldn't be that big of a deal? Would there be certain things that you've been worrying about and perplexing about that all of a sudden really wouldn't matter? Yeah, I think so. I think if you knew that you only had two more weeks in this life, and then you were going on from this one into the next, and that was the truth of your specific reality, you would change. You would change your process. You would change your thinking. You would change what was important to you. You would change the way that you would appreciate every moment. Your moments would all of a sudden be very precious. Your time would all of a sudden be something that you wouldn't squander and waste, right? Yeah. So it's depending on what the information is that you're working off of, it changes the way that you see things. It changes the way that you see life. It changes the way that you see reality. That said, and the next part is knowing that the enemy came to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, and the devil is the father of all lies. So, if you know that the devil is the father of all lies, that his goal is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, then you might have a small epiphany that everything that the world has said to you is a lie. Everything the world pushes has an agenda. And that agenda is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy you. Now, if you come to that realization, then it'll change what all of a sudden now is important. What is important to you? What is important for your life? What is important for your time here? What is important for your energy? What is important for that which you would say is a priority for this day? See, it's not the fact that that you and I have to deal with the present reality, but it's how you approach it and the information that you would go off of. See, a lot of people get caught up in the game. You know, globally, there's all kinds of games. Look, first of all, let's talk a little truth here. Okay, in this world, there are only two kingdoms. That's it, only two. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. The power of the living God, and the kingdom of the enemy, the power of Satan. Read Acts 26, because Paul speaks about it when he talked about what God saved him from. He said that God, in his time, he brought me out. He took me from the power of Satan unto God, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Those are the only two kingdoms in existence here in this life and in this world. So if you are part of the kingdom of light and truth, and you walk with the living God, hey, your brother, your sister in Christ, God bless you. We love you. If you are not a part of the kingdom of light, if you are part of the kingdom of darkness, if you have a soul that's been given over to the world and the world system, if you have made that exchange with the devil for your lap around the track here, and you are just part of that whole thing, then hey, that's your choice. That's your eternal choice. And that's where you are. And you have set yourself up to be part of a kingdom and a system that's at enmity with God. That's at enmity with the living God, with truth. And your work and your labor works towards blocking out the light. Blocking the light from others that would be saved. Blocking truth from those that have a heart for it. Corrupting that which is right and pure and the way that God designed things and made stuff. Your whole life and your whole existence will be in some way, shape, or form to be anti-Christ. Because, you know what, the whole thing about the world is to be anti-Christ. Because it's all about Jesus in the end. You know, the whole thing is about Jesus. Like Jesus said, if those that are not for us are against us, those that are against us for us. You know, look, I'm paraphrasing that. But he who's not He who's not against us is for us against us. Ah, I'm blurring that a little bit. I'm referring to when there was a guy that was getting baptized. People were getting baptized, and the disciples saw it, and they said to Jesus, "Hey, you know, there's people baptizing." Jesus just said, "Hey, it's cool. You know, look, the people that are not opposed to the light and the truth, you know, hey, it's cool. Don't worry about it. There's just two kingdoms, though. Two kingdoms in operation here. Two kingdoms at work in this life. And, you know, within those kingdoms, now, here, look, the wheat and the tares grow together. So the light and the darkness coexist in this paradigm. I think that's probably one of the most amazing things about this dimension. compared to other paradigms, other dimensions, other things that we would experience in our eternal existence, I think this one aspect is probably one of the most amazing aspects of this life, is that there is a balance maintained in this world and in this life so that light and darkness can exist simultaneously, which is incredible. Because here's the thing, the light is infinitely more powerful than the darkness. You know, you take a room that, see, darkness, all it is the absence of light. You know, you take a room and you, which is in complete darkness, you turn a light on, you put a little light in there, all of that darkness is affected by that light. The smallest light can overpower the greatest darkness, because darkness is not more powerful than light. Darkness is just the absence of light. So, you know, for us, you know, as followers of Christ, for us as truth seekers, one thing you've got to know, back to facts, back to truth, back to understanding the true reality of what you live in and you face, when it comes to the kingdoms that are in this world, the light and darkness are the two that are here. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of the enemy. Now, nations, that's a whole different thing. There's tons of nations, lots and lots of nations, lots and lots of countries, lots and lots of people groups, all kinds of stuff. But within those, you've got those that are His and those that are not. So, you know, if you realize that, then you'll also realize that you can travel all over the world and you will find brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it's funny, even take a nation like the Maldive Islands, which prides itself in what it calls being 100% Islamic nation. But, you know, from my own understanding, I know there's brothers and sisters that are there, followers of Christ, people that proclaim the gospel, love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, that have Maldivian passports, that carry Maldivian credentials, that live in the Maldive Islands, a quote-unquote 100% Muslim nation where the wheat grows unto the glory of God, and where they exist. And they carry on. And God gives them wisdom and discernment in how to exist in that nation. But they exist. They share the gospel. They share the truth. And they go forward strong in that place that God has them to be. And they live there. So while the world may have a particular stance about a place, the truth and the reality of it is something else. And then at the same time too, there are those that are supposedly supposed to be representatives of truth, you know, selected through all kinds of man-made systems and ideologies and vetting processes and voting and elections and all that stuff. But, you know, though they are supposed to be one thing, we even know from Scripture that Lucifer, as angels, that transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness. They look the part. They talk the part. They wear the robe. They wear the collar. They have it all put together. But in their heart of hearts, they serve the world and the world system. In their heart of hearts, they're part of the problem. They block truth. They block the reality. They block what would set people free. Jesus came up against it. When he was here, the one that we follow, when he was here, he said, "Woe unto you, you Pharisees. You know, you block others. You don't enter the kingdom of God, and you block others that would. You know, you teachers, you tie people up with all kinds of burdens and things that, and just laden them with all this crap." This is me paraphrasing again. You laden them with all this crap, and then you won't lift one finger to help them. How many people do you know that sounds like? They're just so bogged down with everything going on around them, with all of the expectations, with all of the burdens, with all of the cares. And people just dump them on them, and then they take a step back and they just watch them struggle and flounder. They leave them like that. And if they show one sign of getting free, they wrap them up with a whole nother set of bondage. Yeah, great. Thank you very much for that, right? Until you get the right information. Once you get the right information, once you know what's really going on, the truth will set you free. Look, the devil was defeated. He was defeated at the cross. He was defeated 2,000 years ago. He was defeated. So he's had to put so much of his efforts into his propaganda campaign, because his kingdom was destroyed. Now it still exists, the remnants of it. They're still putting together whatever they can. Just think of it like the Titanic. The hull was breached. The hull was breached. It is sinking. It is going down. It is going down. So they put all of their efforts into their propaganda campaign. They want to take as many to the bottom, to the depths of despair as they can. That's the goal. Because that is the focus of what the world does right now. See, the world system, just it digs in right now. What it's focusing on, what it's doing. Look, everybody knows that everyone that comes into this life, not a soul came into this world that stays in this world, right? Right. Okay, so everybody's passing through, right? Right. Okay, so the goal of the world system is to, with everybody that's passing through, to take them all to hell. To take every soul possible to eternal damnation and eternal separation from their Creator and from the one that made them and from the one that loved them. And that is the only way that the enemy can try to get back at God for throwing him out. Because he's garbage, so he got thrown out. So the only way that he can try to get back at God is to try to get through you, to try to get at you, because you were created in God's image and God's likeness. So rather than, because you can't get God, God is ungettable. You know, Lucifer can't get past God's first doorman. Can't get past God's first secretary. Won't even make it. So, you know, he can't do anything there. So, what does he have to do? Well, the only thing that he could come up with is, hey, gotta try to go after his creation. So, you know, that is where we're at. So, how does he try to go after his creation? Well, you know, you got to defile you, got to make you sick, got to distort you, have to trouble your mind, have to get you focused on all kinds of things, get you wrapped up in everything that is anti-Christ possible. Get your mind focused on your past. Get you wrapped up and scared about what's coming in the future. corrupt you in every way imaginable, distort your food supply, distort your genetic code if possible, mess the whole thing up. Mess up God's design and God's purpose. But you know what? Here's the irony of that whole thing too. And this is where you continually see that though the world is crafty, that God is always 1,000 steps ahead of them. And even part of all of this is going to work out for God's redemptive plan. You'll see. You'll see. In eternity, you'll see it. Just like Jesus going to the cross worked out for our salvation. Scriptures even say that if they had known that that was going to be the way that God was going to do it, and that God was going to work out salvation for all mankind through that, they would have not crucified the Lord. They wouldn't have done it. If they knew what was going to happen with Jesus, they would have done everything they could to stop it. If the devil would have known about the resurrection, he would have done everything he could to stop the crucifixion. He would have strangled Pilate himself, and he would have executed the entire synagogue. He would have done everything he could to stop the crucifixion. But the crucifixion was not the devil's idea. The crucifixion was God's eternal redemptive plan. God worked out so many different things in that entire thing, including demonstrating his love for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us, made the way for us, made the way for you, made the way for me. While we were yet sinners, God did that for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, look, this is good news I'm sharing with you today, because I'm talking to you about truth. I'm talking to you about the reality that you need to know for yourself. Because if you know what this reality is, it will change things. It'll change the way that you see things. It'll change what you see when you get up in the morning. It'll change what you do during your day. It'll change your outlook. It'll change every moment of the rest of your life. I'm serious. Look, if you realize that the enemy is defeated, you can be the only one left. You remember what Elijah said? You know, he was all perplexed. He was all upset. And he was all angry. He was like, God, they've killed your prophets. They've torn down your altars. I'm the only one left. Woe is me. Right? Even though that was not true, and he even knew it because he had met somebody not too long before that had even told him that he had hidden 100 of God's prophets. But he felt like that. But even in that situation, God even said, look, I've reserved for myself 7,000 that have not bowed their knee before Baal. But even in that situation, even if he was the last one, even if there was nobody left, even if he was in that situation, if you know the reality of it, you can't even be the last one left. And you still win. Because light is always more powerful than darkness. And in a moment, the whole thing can change. All God's got to do is turn on the switch. All he has to do is turn on the switch in you. All he has to do is shine his light through you. All you got to do is be available. Look, okay, take a light bulb, right? If you take that light bulb, if you take that lamp, it's there. All you got to do is plug it into the socket. That's it. Once it's plugged into the socket, as soon as the switch goes on, it is on. That light floods the whole house. But if you are not plugged in, if you are not, now, or in old school times, John 15, if you are not connected to the vine, I'm using the modern day analogy, the dynamic equivalent, if you want to talk Bible translation terms, if you're not connected to the vine, you have no life in you, no power, nothing flowing through you. But if you are connected to the vine, i.e., if you are plugged in to the source, that power flows through you. And that power can change anything. That power lays low kings and presidents. That power changes weather patterns. That power raises the dead, heals diseases, destroys demonic strongholds, rips down entire dominions. Huge fortresses of the enemy in the realm of the spirit are destroyed by the prayer of one child that walks with Christ, that is connected to Him. The simplest of prayer can destroy the most powerful demonic structure ever created. It just requires that somebody's connected. That's it. That's it. All you gotta be is connected. Once you're connected to the source, then live in that. You know, okay, so we're talking about truth, right? We're talking about getting you off of the world's programming. Because you know what? The world works very hard to program your mind. Very hard. I mean, they spend ridiculous resources to try to get you to think a certain way. Because if they can get you to think a certain way, they can control you. You know, I remember I used to wrestle back when I was in junior high school. And I got decent, you know. But part of it was I had a really, really good coach. He was a former Olympic competitor. He had wrestled for Iran, of all places. He had wrestled for Iran. He had gotten sixth in the Olympics for Iran. And then he moved to the city in the States where I was going to school. And he was the teacher there. And he was my coach. And because I was a small guy and he wasn't huge, I ended up wrestling with him a lot. And so I learned a lot from him. And, you know, one thing, though, too, I remember I used to keep little notes of stuff that he would teach me. But he said, look, when you're wrestling, he said, where the head goes, the body will follow. Yeah, he was talking about in the natural term. If you could control your opponent's head, you control the rest of them. That's the way it is. That lesson applies for the mind as well. You know, where the mind goes, the body follows. Where your thought process goes, that's where the rest of you is going to follow. Where the head goes, the body will follow. So, that's why the world works so hard to control your mind. To fill your head with junk. To get you in a totally insane life pattern. To suck the life out of you and then kill you on cue. Look, simple things. Simple things. Let's talk some simple stuff. Okay, let's talk diet and nutrition, shall we? Right. You go back to the garden. What did God talk to Adam and Eve about with the garden? Look, eat whatever's in the garden. You know, eat. Just don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? Basically, when it comes to food, fresh, the fresher it is, the better. Fruits, vegetables, good stuff, greens, lots of healthy things inside there for you. You've noticed that people that all these things that people talk about, raw food, diet, and juicing, and all this stuff, you can trace it all back to biblical. You really can. And if you look through, a lot of the stuff that's inside there where even God was setting out certain things for the children of Israel about, you know, foods what they talk about is even kosher, but, you know, foods to eat and things that, they could consume. You know, if you look at the, if you actually do a scientific analysis of those foods, the things that God approved and the things that God said, yeah, eat this, don't eat that, those were the things that were really healthy for people. Things that he told them not to eat were generally very toxic, generally very unhealthy, generally very bad for your mind. See, here's the thing. When you eat crappy food, when you eat food that is not healthy for your body, that in turn affects your mind. That makes your mind sluggish. That makes you more palatable, moldable, soft. I'm sorry, not palatable. Pliable. That makes you moldable. That makes you soft. That makes you more receptive to what the world is trying to shove down your throat. Likewise, the food and drug pharmaceutical industry is huge. And why is it huge? You know, I mean, it's because there's huge money in it. Because once people get sick from eating all this bad stuff and disease, once they get filled with disease, then instead of showing them, here's the way to get to good health, here's what you need to do, it's back to your diet and nutrition, it's back to your lifestyle and your lack of activity. No, instead, long-term symptom treatment. Symptom repression. They don't want to cure anybody. They want to extract your work, your efforts, your resources, and make you susceptible for that next round of sucking the life out of you. All the way out. You know, when you start realizing that these are the systems that are there, look, you know what I found too? Many of the solutions that are there, because I've spent a chunk of my life, God's had me look at things that are solutions. And I love it. I love it. I love it, the fact that God just, you know, put me on a track like that and just said, look, you know, I'm going to show you solutions. I'm going to teach you things. I'm going to teach you how to solve stuff. And, you know, many of the solutions that I've been blessed to understand are actually quite simple. Are actually very, very simple. They require a little bit of discipline, but they're very simple. And it's incredible. Absolutely incredible when you realize that the solutions are something so simple. And they usually are not too expensive either. But they just require a heart for it. And a willingness to question that which you've known. Because usually that which you've known has been part of your own destruction. Because you've been tricked by the world and the world system. Look, a lot of you out there have been tricked to believe in that the world is made up of all these countries. It's not. Two kingdoms, that's it. Yes, you know, you may be part of a country and you may carry a passport from one place or another. But you go anywhere in the world, you meet somebody that's a follower of Christ, instantly that is a brother, that is a sister. And in your own neighborhood, in your own backyard, you know, many times in your own family tree, you have people that hate you, despise you, would want to even poison you or kill you, get rid of you. They're not part of the kingdom of God. So, you know, just look, question things. It's okay. It's okay to ask questions. You know, Jesus, while he was walking on the earth, he fielded the questions because he got a lot of them. People questioned him about all sorts of stuff. And you know what? There was a funny thing, too, is that there are people that genuinely wanted to know the truth, and God loved it. And he happily taught them, drew them close. And then there were those that wanted to keep the world going, wanted to keep the system going. And they came with their own questions, but not because they wanted truth or because they wanted the message that he was carrying to go forward. No, what they wanted was to trap him. So they would even ask him the questions that were traps to try to get him stuck so that they could have something to accuse him. So they would ask him the questions that they couldn't answer in their limited knowledge, but God would consistently, because he had wisdom, eternal wisdom rests with him. And eternal wisdom flows into you when you are connected to him. You ask, you shall receive. You seek, you'll find. You knock, the door's open. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. Look, do you think that even me speaking like this, do you think this comes from me? No! It doesn't! All I am is just somebody that's available. And God gave me some simple instructions. I do it. The word goes out. But it comes from him. And because it comes from him, that's why it's of service and of use to you. If this was me sitting down trying to draft something that would, in my own mind, think it could help you, if that was me, the whole thing would be a flop. It wouldn't help anybody. But God knows where you're at, so he knows the word that you need. And he flows through willing vessels. So you get something here, you'll get something when you go out for a walk and you look up at the sky, God will speak to you. God will speak to you in the wind. God will speak to you through a bird. You'll just be doing your own thing. God will speak to you. He might show you something on TV, I don't know. But if you're connected to him and you're seeking, God's going to work with you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to minister to you. And he'll give you wisdom. So even like with Jesus, when they were trying to trap him. All right, Jesus, here's the question they had for him. Oh, here's one. Okay, guy got married. First husband got married to a woman. Lady and the man didn't have any kids. Guy died. Then, according to their law and their tradition, the brothers are supposed to marry the woman and have children for that brother so that his line can continue on. Second brother marries, dies, no kids. Third marries, dies, no kids. Seventh one dies, the same. Then they're all trying to find out whose wife will she be in the resurrection, because they all had her. Trying to give him a trick question. Trying to trap him. Jesus said, you don't know the scriptures of the power of God. So you're still thinking in carnal, natural, temporal terms and trying to carry that over to a spiritual kingdom. So you're missing it. Go read it. Check it out. Good stuff. Another one, they came with a coin. Actually, they didn't come with a coin. Jesus asked them to show him a coin. They said, should you pay taxes or shouldn't you? Two different viewpoints. Whichever one Jesus answered, if he said don't pay them, they would have gotten it. If he said pay them, they would have gotten it. So they put him in a sandwich spot, and Jesus called them out. God gave him wisdom. Said, all right, show me the coin that's used to pay the tax. They showed him a denarius. Whose inscription? Whose picture? Caesar's. He said, okay, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, render unto God that which is God's. And they were already part of that system. So if you're playing part of that system, then go ahead. Pay your tax. You know, Jesus, you know, look, all these things that people got all worried and stressed and perplexed about, taxes, look, if he needed it, he'd get it from the mouth of a fish. Just send somebody. Send Peter. Go, Peter, go. Catch a fish. First fish that you catch. Tongue twister there. First fish that you catch, open it up. You find the coin. Pay our tax. Your tax or my tax? Wow. Okay. Sure. I would love to go fishing like that. Can you imagine that? You're hanging out with Jesus. He says, all right, go. go take your line, because what you do is fish. That's what you know, Peter. That's what you know. That's what you know to do. That's your background. That's your history. That's your heritage. That's where you came from. So that's what you know. So I'm going to take what you know, and I'm going to do something with what you know that'll blow your mind. I'm going to take what you know. I'm going to take what you've learned. I'm going to take everything that's built into every day of your life and experience. Everything that you know as a fisherman should not allow for that to happen. Everything that you know as a fisherman should not have a fish that you would ever catch that has the temple tax money for two people in the mouth. Amazing. Incredible. Way of God. You know, he did that again with when he had them push out, you know, away from the land, you know, so that he could speak. And then he had them put down the nets for a catch. Caught 153. 153. 153. Big fish. So much so that the nets were breaking and the boat was sinking because they couldn't handle the catch, and they had to signal for another boat to come out just to help them bring everything in. You know, and why 153? You know, why not say hundreds? You know, why 153? Well, one thing is, it's incredible, but I've seen it. You know, God has a beautiful way of either very accurately letting people know exactly what happened, or underestimating things so certain details can remain, you know, they don't have to be brought out, because it actually brings glory to God. So when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, you know, now let's look. During that time, most of them married. No family planning during that day. So 5,000 men, probably another close to 5,000 women, three or four kids each of them. So multiply that by that, then you get the, you know, another 20,000-30,000. So I mean, no, scriptures just said 5,000 men. But and 12 baskets full of leftovers picked up afterwards. You know, it would be nice to see a little bit of humility in some of these things that are out there that all profess to do what they... look, the world is always saying it's more than what it is. The kingdom of God and the people of God generally have humility, generally underestimate their value, generally underestimate, you know, what it is that they've done and what it is that they've accomplished. You know, it's just kind of the way it's been. But the world is usually like, oh, one small thing is a huge thing. But no, it's okay. You know, look, you don't have to try to make everything be more than it is. Just let it be what it is. It's cool. You know, you can help one person do something to make one person's life better. That's good enough. Because it's not, God's not looking for numbers. God's looking for hearts. God's looking for quality. God's looking for a genuine place where you come from and what you do. You know, you don't need to do all that. You don't need to try to make yourself more than what you are. But do realize who you are. I'm not saying that because you go and then you go rip yourself down either. No, you need a genuine understanding of who you are, and then you need to get about the Father's business. You know, when you have a genuine revelation of who you are, then you can carry on in what it is that God called you to be. Very simple. Get about what God called you to be. Very simple. You know, find that which God has quickened you to and move on with it. Because He's put so much out there for you. And you know what? The world does not want you to know what it is. The world does not want you to tap into it. The world does not want you to walk in what God has for you. It doesn't. Absolutely not. Because if you do, you are a destructive force to them. Look, if you get about the Father's business and you tap into who He made you to be, if you become that piece of the body of Christ fully that He intended for you, you alone can do incredible damage to their system. So they focus everything they can on influencing your mind and your thoughts and getting you wrapped up in all kinds of junk and foolishness, but never ever becoming what God made for you to be. Polluting your mind, polluting your thoughts, polluting your heart, polluting your body, getting you depressed and perplexed, worried and about all the stuff from before, or all the stuff that's going to come up in the future. Look, right now is your moment, right now. Right now, today is the day of salvation. I am. God is I am. You won't find Him in any other place than right now. Yesterday, today, forever. But right now, this is the place where you meet Him. So, that being the case, trust Him. Stretch out your hand to Him. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy where you are. Just thank Him for life and breath and the fact that you have one more day to walk with Him. One more moment. Right now, in this moment, if this moment was all that there was, if you're in connection with Him, it's all good. If you're in connection with Him in this very moment, it's all good. You don't have a care in the world. You don't have to worry about anything. Look, listen, God has taken care of all of it, all right? You don't have to control the distance of the earth from the sun. Because if we got too close, we'd burn up. If we got too far away, we'd freeze. You don't have to control that tilt angle of the earth. You don't have to control the oxygen balance in the atmosphere. You don't have to control a ton of different things. God's put all of it in balance and in care. You don't think that He knows all that's going on in the world right now? Absolutely knows everything. He knows the number of grains of sand on the seashore. He knows the number of hairs on your head. So what are you worried about? Look, if you need to know something, God will show you. Ask Him, seek. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened. If you're lacking wisdom, ask Him. He gives to all men generously without finding fault. That means you ask Him. That means you go on your knees before Him and you say, Father God, I lack wisdom. I lack knowledge. I lack understanding. Would you please teach me? Would you please instruct me? Would you please lead me in the way to go? He will do that for you because He loves you. And He loves that prayer that comes from your heart. Do that. Get wisdom. Be wise all the days of your life and enjoy the journey. Enjoy the ride. Because there's an amazing adventure for you right now. So with that, hey, God bless you. We love you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Or you can find us on our Facebook page. Just search for Faith Mix, one word. You will find us. So hey, say hi and know that we love you out there. Keep on keeping on. Talk to you soon.